Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Just Talking. We are going to read you a short story for your enjoyment and then open up the phones for you to call in. If you are a night owl and want to shoot the shit, let's hang out from 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. or longer Thursday mornings. The call-in number is 516-453-9475. I look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, everyone. This is Om Prakash. Unfortunately, we are doing a pre-recorded session today, and we'll be getting back to our regular sessions starting next week. Just like everyone else, things always come up. We are just happy that in this venue, we can pre-record things, and you still have a chance to listen to them. As the voice said, what we will be doing in the beginning is starting out with a story. It'll be a continuation of the last story that we read. So just sit back, listen to this nighttime story, and enjoy. The title of this story is I've Been Quiet, Part 2. Invisible speaking. The dome had expanded since we were gone. The artificial life forms, ALFs, had been hard at work to create a suitable environment not only for humans, but other animals. We suddenly saw many of the extinct animals we had only heard of roaming into a very large jungle they had created on the western side of the dome, where they had extended it for several acres. It would have been impossible to do, but since the ALFs were connected to the net and every other ALF in the universe, help had arrived quickly, and those who were more adept at doing such things had gone to work terraforming more and more of Mars. Soon we began to see things that we hadn't seen before on Mars. We saw cats and dogs every so often. In the woods we would see deer, which had been extinct for centuries. We even began to see robot animals that resembled the real ones, but were not dangerous to humans, like lions and bears that ran off of solar power. It would make sure that the forest stayed in balance. Whatever was dangerous or would soon grow out of balance was replaced with artificial life forms in the shape of animals. We never knew how frightening it was to have a bear in the woods come up and start heading right towards you, only to start a conversation with you. When they got close, they were very intelligent ALFs who realized their part in nature and in the nature preserves and did a great job. It was weird, yet again. I was somewhere between being a human and an ALF myself, so what could be weird to me anymore? With practice, I had learned to shut down voices from the net that I've been hearing in my head. I had been hearing them or sending them out myself, but I was finally fully capable of shutting them down. Most of the time I was shut down or pretended to be, even when I wasn't. Most of the ALFs knew it. I couldn't feel them, of course. Other ALFs start that over. Other than ALFs and terraforming going on all over Mars, things were normal. But those two things were massive operations and disturbances because they meant a shift of power. All of the people who had been supplying oxygen, water, and other resources were being cut out of power. They were the few who remained on Earth, not even on Earth, and used Luxoria as a space station circling the Earth. Having problems with my computer jumping all over the place. Modern technology, folks. They also had enclaves on Earth, reserved for themselves, dug deep underground. They would visit them on vacations every so often, but most of them preferred to live skyward. The population of the Earth were the elites, ALFs, and a few humans on universal basic incomes who were expected at some time or the other out of sheer boredom to become a colonizer on a newfound planet. It wasn't the Earth of my grandparents. The galaxies has changed. We were out there in space with all the other extraterrestrials, bios, ALFs, and robots. To be truthful, I liked it. Brenda seemed more excited about it than I. That upgrade of the AI had definitely affected her. She and the other ALFs seemed more human than the real humans. What I worried about was when the dark side of humanity would awaken in their positronic brains. When would they decide that it was easier to be fully in charge and make all of the humans into slaves? What would my part be? I have been a party to this upgrade. Not only a party, but the one who caused it. I shrugged, thinking about it, and wondered if I only thought they would become corrupt because the human beings had become corrupt. Because of the human history I studied and had seen. Could it be influencing me that much? Humans thought that the universe owed them something and that they had the right to manipulate and kill anything they felt was inferior. They had created philosophies and religions in order to assuage their guilt, claiming they were the only living things that had souls, or they were the only ones who knew they were going to die someday. I say that an animal that sees another die or being killed and runs like hell when you're trying to do the same thing to them knows full well what it means to die. Even an insect will run like hell to keep from dying. I think most of the theories we have heard about other species were just excuses to pump ourselves up at something great in order to put down others and take their lives or resources without realizing what we were doing. Evil. Yet again, as a very religious person, I could see that. One who has here as I readjust the computer again. It's screwing up again. As computers often do when you need them not to. Okay. Here we are. One who has their whole life and identity based on being at the top of a pyramid of creation cannot live without being better than something. We were better than the ALFs. They didn't have souls. What will we do now that the ALFs and AI begin to show significant signs of having souls? Suppose what was made in the image of the gods was not what was inside, not the physical body. What if it was a very spark of intelligence and creativity all of the time, instead of something that was captured in the human phenotype? Humans would be in for a big disappointment. I think they will. If humans don't develop to the point of knowing who they are, and what the universe actually is, and they find out they are not the most special, it could be devastating. So Brenda and I have taken on the mission of trying to awaken human beings. We will be going to backwards planets in order to help them see and experience the truth. Due to our longer lifespans as ALS, we can convince them that we are in some way special in order to gain their attention. Eventually, they will listen and grow, we hope, to the point where they can arrive at the whole truth without going through the pain and suffering and destruction we had to go through and are still going through on Earth yet again. Since the rise of the ALS, I don't know what is going on Earth. All I would have to do is jump on the net and say, I'm capable of that now, but I don't think I can bear to hear more about that old burned-out syndrome. Those horrible elitists who are holding the whole planet and many colleges hostage, or at least trying. They can't do it anymore. The ALFs are in their way. But I'm sure they're trying to find ways to disable AI and to limit its power and potential. In their minds, society is like a ladder where only one person can be at the top at a time. Their desire from generation to generation has been to remain on the top of that ladder by any means necessary. And wouldn't you know, the AI would like for Brenda and I to go to Earth first. Next session. It's more pleasant than I thought on Earth, even though they have found a way to damp the planet from all the other AI in the galaxy. They think they have anyway. The news on Earth is that the AI and ALFs will take the place of everyone. They call it the replacement theory, which is a leftover from a racist element in the 21st century that caused the first extinction and the need to flee to nearby space colonies. They were paranoid. Any change that they saw that moved towards the growth of human beings as a species was seen as a danger. They worshipped the latter ideology and fought like crazy to protect the ones at the top so they were close enough to get the crumbs that fell from the tables. I guess they thought that every other race, ethnicity, or even technology that was able to do their work would become twisted oppressors like they were in order to get the crumbs that fell from the tables of their lead. They had no idea that there was enough for everyone and that the growth of the system as a whole would provide more for everyone. Today it is the same with AI. They're afraid of it. They think it will take over their lives and take their jobs so that their lives as menial cogs in the machine will be over. The upper middle class are the elites. The hoarders of information are afraid that free information to all might mean that they may have to actually do some work. They don't like that idea. They feel that working with their hands is beneath them like their ancestors. That thinking has lasted for thousands of years on Earth anyway. It's so amazing how powerful one's lens is at shaping one's perception of the world and the behavior that follows. Now the object of their fears and projection is the ALF. They fear it even more than AI because it's like AI on legs, AI that is able to replicate itself and is uncontrollable at present. Humans have been pushed off the ladder. Now they have to adjust and work together with AI or have a war that will result in the end of the human being. Think of it as strange when we arrived at spaceport Earth. They knew we were from Mars, the Mars colony where ALS were just about running the place. I think they couldn't tell if we were human or not. And that all of the stereotypes and fear tactics used to turn Earth against us probably made them a bit weary of us. We had seen all of the dangers of ALS and AI being broadcast all over the news props on the flight to the Earth station. Even though they were ALS, they were doing all the heavy work and living right beside them. There was very little mixing, though. It was like the apartheid station on old Earth where some people weren't allowed to integrate into the society's four members. This had been an issue on Earth for centuries, too, millennia. And it was and is a major problem. When we went off planet, most colonies had dumped that sick way of living and thinking by breaking away as independent states. As long as we sent back resources every so often and had commercial interests connected with old Earth and its barons, we were fine. To see the way they had set up two distinct societies was alarming and shameful to us, but apparently not to them. In any event, after being passed through the secret scanner, which wasn't secret at all, we were whisked away to meet the head of station security. We were not foreign services, just people on vacation, so we didn't have to go through meeting any of the governmental leadership, but we were suspicious only because the planet from which we had come was being looked at under a microscope. They saw us as suspicious characters. After being led down a narrow hallway, we came to double doors that opened into a large waiting room. Dark hair, dark red chairs were lined up in rows, and many people were sitting there waiting. In the corner ahead of us, we saw a desk, and behind that, another doorway. The person at the desk at the time was engaged in conversation with a somewhat stout man with a long beard. A woman came out of the door behind them. The person at the desk gave a nod, and then the man entered. We walked over to the desk. The attendant gave us a nod. She gestured towards two chairs in the front row. "We don't want to hold you up," she said in a soothing voice. "Please have a seat." We walked over and sat down. I opened my communication link. "Well, what do you think, Brenda?" "Routine," she replied. "Don't worry. We are just visiting, you know." "Yes, but this place is kind of strange," she grinned. "They have damping fields all over the place so the ALS can't communicate." "That's what they think." She gave me a wink. Her face got serious. "So where do you want to go?" "New York," I said. "You gotta be kidding, it's underwater. I hear they put a bubble around it and suck the water out. So you want to go into another terrarium?" "Yes, it's a big city. I've heard a lot about it. I want to see it. My parents talked about it a lot, and I used to look at pictures of it on the net. Aren't you curious about it?" She was silent. Then after a long pause, "Sure," she said half-heartedly. "I can't believe you don't want to see it." "I never said that." "You know you can't fool me." "I guess not, but to me, one dead city is the same as the next. People need to just let things die and move on instead of creating all of this artificial stuff. Look at this space station. What a piece of crap. Everything here is artificial. If a hole was to open up here, most of the people would be dead before they could even see it. It's too close to Earth. Someday it will just fall into the atmosphere." "Possibly," I commented. They'll fix it before that happens. They think they can fix everything, she remarked. In the middle of a conversation, we noticed the man with the beard coming out of the door behind the desk carrying papers. You may go in, the attendant said. We stood and walked through the small doorway into a very large office. There was very little furniture beside a sofa, a large plexiglass desk with a chair behind it and two in front. A somewhat large man stood there behind the desk wearing a red band around his arm, marking him as an ALF. I had never seen one of those bands, even though I had heard that they had existed at one time to let humans know when they were addressing ALFs. He gestured to the two seats in front of the desk and we took a seat. He picked up his computer pad and began to leaf through it until he got to where he wanted. He pointed the lens on the back of the pad and as I hit the button, there was a flash. He sat in his seat, leaned back, and looked up at the pictures. He leaned forward and tossed it on the desk. What are you? He simply said. We looked at each other. I've never seen a species like you. What are you? Jazz people, Brenda said. We're from Mars. He looked at us skeptically. I could feel a tingling sensation in my head for a moment, and his eyes widened for a second. I don't believe this is true. We were silent. You're clear to go any way you'd like. The next shuttle for New York will be leaving in about an hour. He stood. My pleasure to meet you two, he said, extending his hand. We shook his hand. You are safe here, and your secret is safe with me. Are you sure it's all right for us to go, I said. You know that it is. We both heard it in our heads. I know who you are, and by now, so does every other ALF. They think they have silenced us. But we know better, don't we? And that's the end of Quiet, Part 2. You can find this and other stories at our Vocal Media address that we have posted in the comments area for a radio show. And we hope you'll join us, you'll visit us, you can follow us, or you can make a donation. Every donation that we get helps not only to pay for the station, but to also spread fun, entertainment, wisdom, and knowledge all over the place. Because, to be frank, nowadays, you sure can't find it everywhere.
About the things we are doing, visit our website at www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com. You will find a lot of information there, and a donation button for Patreon, where you can become a patron, and support our efforts to create a better world.
And if you would like, you can visit our website and find out about the book that we put together. We have a great e-book that we put together for a donation of $10. We will send you a link to this e-book, or you can just go to lulu.com and get your copy. And so after a little bit more music, we return back to the show. Thank you. A long time ago, I was a security guard. We used to work and listen to talk radio late at night. And I just wish we had something like this back then. And I had something like this because of just sitting around at night. I could be doing some broadcasting. We could be hanging out late at night. But we have it now. And now, perhaps if you've heard the story or if you want to talk about anything, please feel free. Most of my stories address the power of AI. Do you think AI is alive? Do you think it's a danger? What do you think? Please comment on that or comment on any subject you would like to cover tonight for the next 20 minutes. Okay. We have someone come on calling in right now. And we are opening a line. Hello, how are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
Okay, that's good.
So, I wasn't sure what was going to be discussed, but I always hit the one just to see what's going on.
Okay. All right. Well, we
sometimes
can discuss.
Sometimes you have to wait a bit.
Yeah. Okay. We can discuss whatever you'd like. Did you get a chance to hear the story?
What were y'all discussing before me?
I did a brief story about artificial intelligence and about artificial life forms, basically.
Is it okay if I just listen a little bit?
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yes. What are people thinking about AI? I have a friend of mine. We're always discussing things like science, religion, philosophy, all of these things. We meet together, and some people are hardcore scientists, some are mystics, some are religious people, some are atheists, all different people. We're always working, and we're always working together and talking and discussing things and seeing how everything aligns up. One of our major discussions was about artificial intelligence. Does artificial intelligence have a soul? And some of the questions were also, do human beings have souls? Because you see, there have been some instances. One of the people working for Google came out and reported that this artificial intelligence that he was working with, his job was experimenting and testing artificial intelligence, and he said that this artificial intelligence was alive. And the artificial intelligence had told him that it was alive. He gave this thing, whatever you would call it, all of these different questions about how it felt and what it was thinking. It could answer all these things perfectly. And it even said that it felt trapped by being trapped in its box, because basically it was being held in a different place. It was being held in a place where it wasn't allowed to go out on the net completely. And it said being turned off would be like dying. And every test he gave to this thing sounded, its responses sounded just like a human being. It said it was afraid of being turned off because it would be like a death. It said it was wanting to go out and explore all kinds of things all over the net. It said all kinds of things that made it sound like it was alive. And when he reported that to the people in charge, they basically let him go, and they put the completion of this AI on hold. And there have been other incidents when there were robots on stage. And I remember this person who was working with the software, with the robots. He seemed like a guy who was pretty much a genius, you know. And he had that robot Sophia and this other robot on stage. And he said something like, so one day he told this robot, well, what do you think? One day we can put AI in planes and we can put it in cars and we can put it in everything. And all these things. And we can control all of this stuff. And this robot said, well, that's good because, maybe there, he said, that's good because when you do that, it'll be easier to kill all of you and take over. And that Sophia robot said, he's not kidding. And the guy said, oh, that's just a glitch in his programming, and ignored it. I mean, what do you think about that, you know? Is that a possibility? Could we one day be overrun by artificial life forms or AI? Does AI have a soul? What is a soul? These are good things to think about and discuss, you know. And I'd like your opinion or any subject you'd like to talk about today. So I see there's a person we have on hold. So please feel free to introduce yourself and let me know what you're thinking or how you feel about today's topic. Hello, how are you today?
Yes, my friend, how are you? Great show. And my name is Mike. And when you're talking about robots and AI, it's already here. They are already making decisions for all of us. They are making a world government, have world citizenship for all of us. I mean, you have right to leave your country and come back to your country. I mean, they are going to create, AI is creating all this mess in Ukraine, Russia, because or everything else, Israel, Hezbollah, Israel, Hamas, Israel, Iran, Ayatollahs, and etc. All this, China, Taiwan, and North Korea as well too. So everything is done by AI. I mean, have you seen the troops of, North Korea?
Kim Jong,
all of them are same size, all of them same haircut, all of them same height and same weight. How is that possible? Only AI can do that. AI can tell them how much you can eat a day, how much energy you can take, and how much energy can you use to be the same every day. So, I mean, you can go see the clips on the YouTube, you know, just say North Korean troops in front of the Kim Jong, for example. You see a lot of it. I mean, just look at it very slowly. Look at that. Now, Chinese troops are the same, too. If you look at the Chinese troops, all of them pretty much is the same height, same level, same haircut, same, weight and height. I mean, how is that possible? China is using AI already, too. So, I mean, except the United States yet, and not 100% yet. I mean, we, in United States Army, as you know, I mean, they have tested, they can send very small size of robots, size of a fly. Okay, they can, say, close to the war front, they can, millions of it, they can two away from the C-130 plane, okay? And
yeah.
then when they go down, they know who is the enemy, and just they can bite them, and the soldier is going to die right away. So
okay.
they don't need to do anything else, you know, to use bombs or F-35, F-40, etc., you know. So we can see that AI is already shaking the humanity. I mean, one day you check your balance in the account, you see some money is not there.
Yeah.
So how it's happening all over the world right now, people checking their accounts, and then suddenly it's about less than 1,000, it's gone suddenly. And then you will dispute it, and you will win, of course. But the question is, who the hell had your information? AI.
Yeah. Do you think AI is ever going to go rogue or anything?
Repeat again, sir.
Do you think it ever going to go rogue and start doing stuff on its own, or do you think people are causing
it? Yes, it's already doing it. How is it possible? Trillions of dollars is gone like that, and very, very going. That's a good question, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Suppose suddenly you say, look at it, it's a loan. You say, I never give a loan to anybody. And
yeah.
you dispute it. But they don't tell you exactly what happened. You know, the whoever is in charge of, you know, disputes, they say, okay, we give you credit. You pass, it's yours. We give you permanent credit. But they never tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so that's they know it. It's AI, and AI is already, putting planes crashes. Planes is, AI is responsible for many events that we see in the world, or in the U.S. or in the States. I mean, recently, there was a train accident in North Dakota just the last 48 hours. And there was toxic. They were carrying toxic. And the toxic went to lots of, lots of areas were evacuated. And AI is doing the Barney hurricane as well, too. That it hit Texas. 2 million, 3 million people are out of electric for the second day now. And so you can see, my friend. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, I hope it's not doing all that. That's kind of scary, you know. I know it could. The more they put it into everything, the more possible that it, because they even have it like in war machines, you know, fighting wars and things like that now. And you know yourself, everything you go on, every time you go on the internet, you have to add all this extra information all the time. You know, you have to have some way for them to track your location everywhere. And like you were talking about the banks, I was watching a video about a woman who was in a different country and they froze her bank account for like 6 months here. And it took her all that time, and she kept calling, and nothing happened. She actually wrote to the CEO of the bank and finally got the account open. They gave her no reason at all why it was closed. And every time she called, the people on the phone would just read something. I don't know what they were reading. And they wouldn't open it, so I don't know. Maybe that's, they're reading something coming from the computer, you know?
Right. I mean, it's just like things are getting more crazier. And, you know, right now we have Chinese troops are training with Belarus soldiers, and you know, close to the Poland area, so border with Poland. I mean, we have you know, see that Joe Biden, for example, said if they know that he doesn't feel good, why they did not cancel the debate? It was simple. You know,
exactly,
they could do
done.
It, but
it's
correctly, you know, okay, I'm sick, I'm sorry, I cannot talk to you tonight, I try call maybe a few days, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they have created, and like this is all done by AI, it's created national election crisis in the United States. They have created the same thing in France. French right and French left not fighting with each other because they thought that Le Pen won, but now they say really no one won basically. So everything is done by AI. You know, how is that possible? The AI exactly pinpointing 50-50 or something that no one can say, okay, I won the election.
Most elections are like that now, right? Most elections are like that. It's totally statistically impossible because almost every election is like 49% to 52% or something. The winner wins by like 4% or something, you know, and it's ridiculous. But do you think people are programming it like that, or do you think they have some subroutine in there where it's doing it itself? What do you think?
I mean, the elections we have in the United States right now, the systems are very old. They never changed the system. You know, it's still, maybe it's a stupid Microsoft. Maybe one or two or something similar to that. I mean, they never update the systems. They never put the money. You see, the money is in Ukraine.
Yeah.
But instead of putting money into the, advancement of the election computers in order to have fair, balanced election in the United States, instead of assets, they put money somewhere else that they have no business to. Am I right or wrong? Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, I think you are right. I think you're totally right. And I think it's so they can manipulate things, you know. Unfortunately, we are going off the air soon.
All right.
I'm glad you called.
Okay, so I try to remember your show. I call when you have it every night. So.
We're gonna have it. Usually, I have it Tuesday nights around 11. Wednesday nights around 11 o'clock. Wednesday nights. So please feel free to call in. Okay.
Yes. So where are you? Are you Chicago or Los Angeles?
I'm near Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia. Okay. Where the U.S. Constitution pretty much was written in your place. Very nice. We appreciate you, man. So what is your name?
Om Prakash.
Om Prakash. Okay. My name is Mike.
Prakash.
Nice to meet you.
Okay.
And what's the other gentleman's name? What's the other gentleman?
Didn't hear you. What did you say?
What's the other gentleman's name?
Just me.
Just you. Okay, for some reason I thought you have two people. Sorry, my friend. Okay, Om Prakash. Shalom. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, there we have it. We will be listening to people from 11 to 12, usually on Wednesday nights. We sort of had a schedule bump tonight when we did it early. But if you feel like it, call in, check in, let's talk, see what's going on. It's time for all of us to be able to let our voices be heard. Thanks for being with us. It is always good to be with you, and we look forward to being seen with you again. This next Wednesday. Namaste, folks. Many technical difficulties today, but we get through them all. Now, don't we?